We're here with the type group. Just happened upon him in the hall here. So, who are you guys?
Oh, my name is Greg Hitchcock. I work on the ClearType team, doing brand new fonts for Longhorn and Office, and new technologies to make screen reading easier. That's a big challenge for us.
Wow. And I'm Paul Winterud. I'm a dev on the team.
Okay. So you build the ClearType technology as well, or
correct?
Okay.
I'm Jonathan Wade.
Look at me. Forget the cameras here.
I'm Geraldine Wade, and I'm a program manager on the ClearType team, and I manage the fonts that have gone into Longhorn, or going into Longhorn Office.
Wow. So you're the font lady, right? We're known as
She's
the font
also
lady.
A designer, though. She can design fonts as well.
And so what role did you play with the new, because there's five or six new
seven fonts altogether. I managed the project. I was the project lead.
Wow. So do you hire typographers then around the world?
Yes, we do. We're, because of our background in design, we have good contacts in the design community, and we built up a virtual team that would help us make these fonts, and it was really great to work with them.
Very cool. And do we know some of the names who
worked on? John Hudson, and Lucas de Groot, Jelle Bosma, and Jeremy Tankard, Gary Munch, and the non-Latin consultants were Maxine Zukov and Jerry Leonidas.
Okay.
And we're continuing to make additions to these fonts, like a math addition to the Cambria font.
Now, I just saw your whiteboard back here. Let me see if I can zoom in on that. You got all sorts of fonts on your whiteboard. I always love seeing people's whiteboards.
Matthew Carter and H.G. Kellner. Matthew Carter.
Yeah, he's really famous.
Yes, he's the best known probably of all the designers that we've worked with.
Yeah.
And H.G. Kellner is a Japanese consultant, a liaison, and C&G, the font vendor, Japanese font vendors that we work with.
Yeah. Do you have any samples of what the new fonts look like?
Well,
are you allowed to show us Longhorn yet?
You've seen the book.
Yeah, show us the book. So how do people get one of these books?
This is our book that we made, and you can get it free from us.
Okay.
And we.
Do you want like 3,000 emails?
And this book covers a bit about ClearType, about our reading research, about the fonts, how the fonts were made, and the interviews for the designers.
So this is one of the new Corbell.
Yeah, this is Corbell.
Very nice looking font.
Yeah. And
looks like an updated one. Kind of.
This is Candara's for a sec. And this is a character set from Candara.
Mm-hmm. So it looks nice in print too.
Yes. That was the whole purpose. The brief was to work really well for both screen and print. And with our ClearType technology background, we were able, Mike Duggan and I were able to influence the design of some of the characters that are actually seen on screen.
Well, this is a Japanese font.
Yeah. And we have this is the first time that you have a Japanese font that's fully scalable. There's no hand-edited bitmaps in this font. We have patents on all of these fonts.
I find it interesting that you guys are right in the middle of the Avalon team, too, which is can give some hints of the font technology or the type technologies that are being built in Avalon and some of the other display technologies, right?
Yes. We moved from Dick Brass's team over to Windows about 9 months ago, no, a year ago, and so it's been very cool to be here.
Yeah. Microsoft's not known for fonts, nor for type, is it?
Oh, we're actually known for on-screen type.
Okay.
We have done a lot of work in bringing TrueType to the system, and TrueType really made fonts popular throughout the world. Windows 3.1 was our first product where we really focused on fonts. But our emphasis was, how can we make characters look better on the screen? And that had never been done before. And so we put a lot of effort into technologies like TrueType hinting and type design, fonts like Verdana and Georgia.
We are doing this live, right in the middle of the hallway.
Bounce Like Verdana in Georgia, yeah. Which were really oriented for how can we make that experience better on the screen.
Okay.
And this is kind of an extension of that. Using the new ClearType technology, which gives us many more degrees of freedom in how we can express the details of the type, we can now design with that in mind. And kind of a similar analogy is that fonts often have to be redesigned when new technical mediums come out. So when a new type of printing press is designed, or you want to print on a new type of paper, newsprint or something like that, fonts have to be redesigned to work best in that environment. So that's kind of the project we're undertaking here, to try to get very readable typefaces to make it so it's a pleasure reading on the screen, that you're not wanting to just immediately send that document to the printer,
right.
That you can enjoy it on the screen, and it's a great reading experience.
How long does it take to design a font? Because some of us think we just go in and
depending on how many characters are in the font, it can take about 3 months to 6 months.
Really?
If you're designing the outline and then hinting it and doing all the tables work that's involved with it, there's a lot more involved with it.
4 weeks to a 4 days.
Okay.
The regular italic, bold and bold italic, and typical character sets can be upwards of 1,000 glyphs. So you're talking about 4,000 glyphs. That can take quite a bit of design work.
And do you do readability research? Or
Kevin.
All your eyes lit up.
A researcher.
Kevin
it, yes.
Okay.
This
so,
is a design day you might be interested in, actually. Looking at this. It's just an example of the two-day deep dive we set up when we first initiated this project.
Okay.
So one of the things on research is that, you know, we've made these fonts, we've made new technology like ClearType, and people say, it looks great, but can you quantify it? What does it mean when it looks great? So we've got a research program where we're looking into the basics of how people read on computer screens, and can we measure improvements in that. And Kevin Larson on our team, who's a cognitive psychologist with an emphasis on reading, kind of drives that program and looks into a whole bunch of different areas.
So right.
There's Kevin.
Oh, hi, Kevin.
I just walked in.
We're talking about research on typography and how you can quantify whether a font is more readable or,
So we're taking a couple different strategies on that. The earliest work was looking at productivity advantages. So with clear type differences or font differences, do we read faster or more accurately? And with some of our bigger technologies like clear type, there's huge productivity advantages that we can measure. Some of the more recent work, we're trying to measure aesthetic differences and the effects that aesthetics have on cognitive abilities. So it's getting at more subtle differences.
Interesting. Why is it largely seen that serif fonts are easier to read in body text? I mean, most books, most newspapers use a serif font, like a Times Roman or something like that. Why do those little things on the letter form help the readability?
The evidence for serifs helping readability is not good.
Really?
They may not help readability. There's no evidence that it hurts readability. As far as I know, it may just be a preference.
Really? Mm-hmm. So
I'm not definitive on that.
Really?
Typographers shaking their heads.
Because when I was in design school, that was always just a given that it was easier to read body long rivers of text that had serif fonts rather than sans serif fonts. So.
We might just be more used to it.
Really? Anyone want to argue with us?
We're always arguing with Kevin. But that's fine. I mean, I think the interesting thing about Kevin's side, we brought Kevin into the team, and that's really been very valuable because he's trying to put some science behind it. I mean, in the past, as designers, we'd say, of course, serifs are more readable, but ask any typographer, I don't really think they all have different opinions on it. It's because it needs the eye along the top of the line, or another typographer would say because it stabilizes the baseline, or so there's various different interpretations. I don't think there's any real hard science behind it.
Well, it's great to see that we're actually studying. Are you studying with iTrack research then, or
are you doing iTrack research? In fact, we're partnering with Keith Rayner at the University of Massachusetts, who is the premier investigator of eye tracking and reading.
And explain how that technology works, so people who don't know what I'm talking about.
So when you read, what your eye does is not make smooth movements along a line, but rather make saccadic jumps from word to word to word. And so we can investigate how long is it that you're going to fixate on a particular word, and how long you fixate varies based on the length of the word and the frequency that you see the word. So we measure things like how long you look at a word, how long your jump is or saccade is, and that changes on various reading factors. And so early on, so we've discovered that, for instance, with clear type people read faster, and with eye tracking we're trying to get at, do we read faster because we look at words for a shorter period of time, or because the saccade length is now able to increase, or what are these eye motor factors are driving the improvements in reading.
Interesting. I still know a lot of people who print out really long passages of text to read them on paper because they feel more comfortable. What are you finding between the state-of-the-art screens today and text? Is there a drop-off in reading speed? Because I'm sure you're doing
probably with the top screens and best fonts, we're not going to be able to measure very large reading speed differences. It's not to say they don't totally exist. Paper has a lot higher resolution than screens do. But probably a bigger factor is that paper has a lot of ergonomic benefits that screens don't. With screens, you've got to look at them from a fairly upright posture.
Right.
You're in a fixed location, in an office chair. Glare factors may be problematic, where paper it's a lot more comfortable and easier to read on a couch.
Yeah. For the rest of you guys, when you get together with other type designers, maybe from other companies, what do you show them off in your fonts or in your type technologies? That go, you know, how do you read your fellow?
So as Greg talked about earlier, a lot of what we focus on really is the screen experience. We really want to improve how people read on the screen. Not a lot of the other companies spend a lot of time focusing on it. They generally focus on the printout. So one of the aspects of screen, making the fonts for the screen, is what we call hinting. It's some code that's written into the font that controls how each character looks on the screen. And we put a lot of effort into it, investigating new ways to do hinting, better ways to do it with clear type. So that's part of the technology.
How does hinting work? I've heard that term before. On a font here, where would we see hinting? How would I know that a font is well hinted, in other words?
So the screen, as Kevin mentioned, has got quite a low resolution, so we're actually trying to build up letters with pretty small dots. So previous to ClearType, we had, for instance, for a lowercase n, we had six just black dots to build up the letter. So what we do with hinting is we can control exactly where those pixels align to a grid, and we can make letters in the alphabet consistent with each other so that the stems are consistent. One stem isn't 2 pixels where another stem might be 1 pixel. That would be very distracting. So you'll see in some of the core fonts that we ship, like Verdana or Arial, all of the letter shapes are very consistent in weight and shape. All the X heights align perfectly, cap heights, descenders. That's all stuff that we do for this, specifically for the screen, and that's kind of as much as we can do to control for the screen, but it makes a huge difference. And actually spacing is another thing that we really focus a lot of effort on getting that right for, because we know through typography and Kevin's studies that a lot of typographers will actually say that spacing is as important as letter shape, if not more important than the letter shapes.
In Longhorn, I keep hearing the term subpixel rendering or subpixel. Can somebody explain what that is?
So the traditional spacing of fonts, we've been bound by the pixel. So everything has to start on a full pixel boundary and end on a full pixel boundary. And with ClearType, we had the ability to start on the physical subpixels that are in the display elements. But the APIs and all of the mechanisms people use to display type still is integer based, so you couldn't represent fractionally those values. So subpixel positioning is actually the full fractional representation of the character. So a character, instead of being forced to be 6 pixels or 7 pixels wide, could be 7.2 pixels wide or 7.8 pixels wide. And what that actually means is that the bitmaps, the shapes of each individual glyph, can change based on where it falls in the pattern. So you may have 3 or 6 different variants of a glyph based on where it would position on the screen. And that technology can also be done with grayscale and other technologies, but it works really well with ClearType, especially because we can keep the contrast really high, and contrast is critical for good reading on screen.
Very cool. Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time. We're going to get a tour with Bill Hill, who just came in here, and he's going to give us a tour of campus and show us all the secret hiding spots. Translation, we just wanted to get out of the office and get in this beautiful sunshine. I know. How do I arrange the sun on the days when I'm going to take a hike? Well, thanks a lot. We're looking forward to seeing the fonts in Longhorn, and I guess people will be staring at your work for a long time, won't they?
That's what we hope.
Yeah, and probably hundreds of millions of hours of staring at your work.
Times New Roman and Arial, and we hope
it'll... Hopefully they're more than staring at it. Possibly reading something.
Yeah.
Probably the ultimate compliment we can get is that people don't notice what we've done, and they can just read and be way more productive on the whole experience.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Thank you very much.